today on Anchored in the Word.
He's trying to tell me that God isn't in it for my good. Doesn't have my welfare in his mind and his heart. In other words, he doesn't love me. Of course God loves me. And the things he tells me not to do anymore, because it's harmful to me. And not just to me, to others, you see. And that's when God takes things away. He's never taken anything good away. It's always something bad. Oh, it seems good. It might feel good, but it's bad for me. And it's dangerous for me. And so he takes things away.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Though we're not in the end times right now, there are many temptations at work to deceive humans. Ultimately, Satan is trying to convince us that God does not love us. Pastor Bill teaches today that though God's will might seem painful, we must not be deceived by the enemy's lies. God is for us, always caring for you and for me. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill with today's study.
It says the beast and the false prophet. Check out chapter 19, verse 20. Then the beast was captured. That's in that war that was going on. With him, the false prophet. You know, the beast is the Antichrist, and the false prophet, who works signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. That is different from this place we're looking at now, the bottomless pit. Bottomless pit is a place somewhere that's really on earth. Back to chapter 9, verse 1 in Revelation, tells us a little bit about this bottomless pit. Revelation 9, 1. Then the fifth angel sounded. I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads, and they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death, and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. And it explains there what the locusts look like. Demonic place. Place that you wouldn't want to go. This bottomless pit. And this is where God is going to send Satan. Look what it says here in verse 2. He laid hold of the dragon, this angel. He laid hold of, don't you like the sound of that? He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. I think he lays it out for us. Remember, in the book of Revelation, he is called the devil. That is, he's called the dragon, the serpent of old. That speaks to the Garden of Eden. The serpent, remember, from the very beginning, the serpent was there, the serpent of old. He was there in the very beginning. Now let's read on what it says, what God's going to do with this devil and Satan. By the way, that's one entity, the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So he puts him in a chain somehow, and he unlocks the pit, and he locks him up, and he binds him for 1,000 years. He cast him, verse 3, into the bottomless pit and shut him up. I like that place. Finally, it's going to shut him up. I don't know if he means shut him in, but I like the idea of just shutting him up. You know, if finally he's going to be shut up, and we're not going to have to deal anymore with him. And it says, not only that, but he set a seal on him so that he should And here's the purpose of him being put in the pit for a period of time, so that he should no more deceive the nations till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he will be released for a little while. You see, the people that took that mark of the beast, they were deceived. And they took the mark there in that 7-year period. As a result of that, they were able to buy and to sell and to live. The people that didn't, couldn't. They couldn't live. They got killed. It says that many people were beheaded for their witness for Christ. But these people were deceived, it says, into taking this mark. But they did it. It wasn't just the mark. It was what came with the mark. It wasn't like it was a credit card. It was the worship of the beast. You know, I don't worship MasterCard. You know, some people might, but you know, just because if you have a credit card, that doesn't mean you're worshiping the beast, if it were such a thing. I believe it's a deception that comes on, but you have to be worshiping the beast. Now, the thing is, how to not be deceived, because Satan is a deceiver. That's where his power lies, in the lie. He's a liar. He's the father of all lies. And what happens, and the problem is when people believe something that's not true, they become deceived, you see? And that's how Satan works. He did it in the garden, didn't he? And by the way, just so you know, the power that we have not to become deceived is not found in ourselves. It's not found in ourselves. It's found in the Word of God. You see, a steady diet of being in God's Word and God's Word being in me. That's the protection for deception. And not just reading the Bible. It's got to be more than that. I got to take it to another level. It says in James, be not hearers only. You know, be doers of the word, lest you deceive yourselves. So there's a deception that comes on a body when you read the word and you know the word and you don't do what it says. Okay? So we got to understand that. And that it means this, just to believe what's written, to believe what is written. And I can guarantee you that there are some things that you are believing right now that aren't from the Word. Guarantee you. Hopefully it's nothing too major, but there are lies that have been just bombarding us for so long that we've chosen to adopt them into, because everybody else does. People in the church do. So we will believe these things. And the only way that we know that they're truth is if they line up with the Word of God. And they will contradict the Word of God if they're not truth. By the way that you become undeceived, if you will, is to line up your life with the Word of God. God will show you truth in His Word. He will show you truth in His Word. But He's deceiving the nations. He deceived the people in that 7-year period to buy into the Antichrist and to swallow that hook, line, and sinker. He did that in the Garden of Eden. You remember with Adam and Eve, Eve was deceived. What was the Word of God in that day? Well, they didn't have a Bible. No, they didn't have a Bible, but it was real simple. If they did have one, it would have one little line in it, one little scripture, one verse. You know, memorize it, one memory verse. You can eat of everything in the garden, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, because the day that you eat of that, you will surely die. That was the Bible in those days, if you want to look at it that way. That was it. That was the command, the protection for man at that point. By the way, you see that it was a command. You shall not. And God says, and He even warned them what would happen if they did eat of it. You will surely die. Life was simple them in the garden, I guess you could say. But you know the story in the garden, that the devil came on the scene and the deceiver, the serpent, and he thought, now how can I deceive her? Well, let me just get her to look at this thing. Look how beautiful that tree is, Eve. Man, look at that thing. That fruit is juicy on there. And you know, it's good to look at. Nice to behold. And by the way, Eve, if you eat that fruit, you're going to be as smart as God. You're going to be like God if you eat that fruit. You know, and probably the idea was, the reason God doesn't want you to eat that fruit is because He doesn't want you to be like Him. Now, that's not spoken in the Word, by the way, okay? I'm just letting you know that that makes sense, doesn't it? Now, we don't have everything that He said. We have just enough. But the point is, she began to ponder that apparently. No, that's right. What you saw happen was that she forgot knowingly. She knew what God said and was buying into her feelings. It looked good. It felt good, whatever the case was. And she did it. And that's what deception looks like. You see, we get away from God's word. We start taking other words that are contrary to His word. We've got to be careful in that realm. Deception. That's how the devil works. Look, that's where we're living as a culture. There's a deception going on in the world. Because, again, he's talking about, in the context, the deception that took place in that seven-year period, the Antichrist deception. But as John said in his book, in 1 John, the spirit of Antichrist is already here. Back in the first century, it was already in place. Now, the Antichrist wasn't there. And he, you know, I'm going to say he's not here because I don't know. He could be walking the planet somewhere for all I know. But there's a spirit of Antichrist John talked about. And that means this idea, you know, from the devil himself. You know, the Bible says this about our battle, our spiritual battle. It's not against flesh and blood. In other words, people are not our enemies. People are not our enemies in a sense in this spiritual battle. But it's against principalities, spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. The devil. That's where our battle lies with. And he's got groups of minions with him. And the battle is this. Because he's not stronger than God. We see here that God sends an angel down and put him in jail. Lock him up. Put him away. Shut him up. Put him down. He could have done that anytime he wanted to. So it's not like they're equals. God and the devil are equals. No. God's more powerful than the devil. But he is a deceiver that goes around and deceives. And he's done a great job. He's doing a great job in these days. One of the things in our time is being celebrated is a man deciding to call himself a woman. And by the way, you got to work hard at it, folks. I mean, you got to do the physical things or hard at it. And not that I know firsthand, but I can read, okay? And the things you have to do to get that way. And you say, well, how can you judge that? Here's how I can judge it. The Bible says he made them in the beginning male and female. I didn't come up with that. That's in the Word of God. He made them male and female. It's done deal. And by the way, in my own life, it's worked. I've seen that in my own life. You know, I know what it's like now. You know, thoughts come into your mind and everything else. Every thought that comes into your mind. If I get a thought, now I don't know that I've had this one. If I did, I wouldn't share it with you. That I think I'm a woman one day. Have I ever wondered what it would like to be a woman? Yeah, I've actually thought about that. Trying to figure out my wife, I guess, you know. No, that's not true. It's a good idea though, right? Yeah, anyway, really. Yeah. But we can't do it because I'm a man. I don't think like a woman. We're made differently. We're just made differently. The Bible says that the woman is the weaker vessel. And that, I'm just trying to say they're different. We are different. The jokes that other guys will laugh at my wife don't think it's funny at all. She gets offended by it. I'm not talking about even, you know, dirty jokes. I'm not talking about that. She's different. She's made differently than guys are. They're more sensitive, and that's a good thing. But he's made them in the beginning male and female. And we have to choose, and by and large, we see that it's being celebrated. It hasn't been too long ago that kind of behavior, when a person from the male gender would think that they're female, the psychologist said that's a sickness. That's an illness. They recognize that's a deviation. You know, it's deviant behavior even, they would call it. But the point is, it's being embraced now. It's like, and if you don't embrace that yourself, you're some kind of a weirdo, you're a hater, you know, you're a this or a that. It's like, you know, the story of the king with no clothes. Remember that story? It's a great illustration. This king in the kingdom, and the tailors are trying to come up with this great outfit to please the king. And they tell him one day, he's totally naked. There's no clothes on him. He can't see him, but they're telling him, King, the clothes, oh, wow, this is unbelievable. So the king goes parading around and of course, everybody's afraid to say anything to the king. Oh, king, yeah, he's naked. They're going, oh, king, you know, you're just looking great. The clothes, and this one person, they didn't see it. I don't get it. You look naked. Well, you know, the point is they just told the truth. They just told the truth of things. King, you look naked to me. And this is, in a sense, how Christians are. I mean, a person that said that to the king could be facing a big problem there, right? But that's who we are as Christians. When we have to stand up in this culture, not holier than thou, we may be accused of that, but they're speaking to the heart at that point. The hope is that when we stand up for what's right, it's because we love people. We care about them. And we care about, we believe that the Bible says that there's these two, there's this place, there's a place called heaven, there's a place called the fiery, you know, furnace at the end. We believe that that's the case. And if we do, and people that aren't following Jesus will go to this place, why wouldn't we want to somehow maybe help intervene in that process? You know what I mean? I mean, oh, it might cost me too much. I got mine. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to the fire furnace. Well, good for you. That's great. And if you really believe that, wouldn't you want to take as many people with you as that you could possibly take, and in the time that you're on earth, to make that count? I mean, not just to, well, I'm going to heaven, I'll just, you know, do my own thing the rest of the time. No, God's called us to share this good news with the world. So the world's deceived. That's what you're seeing. Don't get mad at people. When you're deceived, guess what? You don't realize that you're deceived, or you wouldn't be deceived, right? You don't walk around, I'm deceived. No, you don't do that. You think that what you believe is true, right? You could say, well, that goes for you too. You could be deceived right now. Well, I guess I could, but I'm basing what I believe on this book. So if this book is wrong, then I'm wrong. Then I am deceived, okay? But I'm believing this book is not wrong. But I would submit to you that every one of the people in the world are putting something as their standard for truth. I believe that this has been trying to been disproven for a long time. It's been around a long time. I've seen it come true in my own life. I've seen, you know, I just choose. It's not like it's a blind faith for me. I've seen this thing born out in people's lives. I've seen the gospel change people in real time. I've seen it. I've seen it in my own life. Time and time. It's not just for one person. Everybody, the whosoever wills, God changes them. So we can base our life on this book. And I've done it. I've based my future on this book. It speaks to where I came from. It speaks to where I'm going. And I'm fine with it. I have a peace in my heart about it. But I guess I'll have to find out when I get there if it's true or not. I believe that it is. And I believe that when we get there in this 1,000-year period of time that's coming in the future, that it'll be better than I ever could have imagined. Why do I say that? Because with the things of the Lord, this is what I've found out. That no matter what I've thought them to be, when I get there with him, it's always better than I thought. See, the devil's seeking to deceive me. He does it like this. And he's working. He's still working. He's working in this day and age. He's telling me, no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to give that up because look at that. He's trying to take your fun away. It's the same tactic he used in the garden. He's trying to tell me that God isn't in it for my good. He doesn't have my welfare in his mind and his heart. In other words, he doesn't love me. Of course God loves me. And the things he tells me not to do anymore, because it's harmful to me. And not just to me, to others, you see. And that's when God takes things away. He's never taken anything good away. It's always something bad. Oh, it seems good. It might feel good, but it's bad for me. And it's dangerous for me. And so he takes things away. But you know what else? He always replaces it with something better, something holy, something that's lasting, something that won't ever rust. It can't be stolen from. He's building this heavenly storehouse even there. It's a wonderful thing to be in the kingdom and to be a Christian. And so each person will base their worldview on something. And we're living in these times and we see it. I could go over a whole list of things. I'm not going to do it. The whole thing that's happening in the world nowadays that people are believing in, and things that 30, 40 years ago we didn't even believe in, you know, and now we believe in it all of a sudden somehow. Oh, yeah, that sounds good. Let's go with that one for a while. And the thing is, it's catastrophic for a community. It's catastrophic for a nation. It's catastrophic for the globe, for the world even. But you think, why aren't they thinking this through? Because they're deceived. Don't get mad at them. Pray for them. Don't let the devil, because what the devil wants to do to the believers is to get them mad and to hate these people because they're deceived. I'm not saying we should go along with them and let them. I'm saying we need to pray for them, that God would let them see the truth, and the truth will set them free. Isn't that your life? Isn't that what happened to you? That's what happened to me. And God wants, he's doing that. But, this 1,000-year reign, it's not going to be like today. No more deception. Only truth. And everybody, I don't know if everybody's going to have a Bible. I don't know how it's going to work out. But they're all going to believe the Bible. And this is going to be the standard. No more, I'm not a constitution basher. But it's not going to be the Constitution of the United States. This is going to be good for the whole world. this Bible. And no more Quran, no more any other, whatever these other books are that are outside of the holy book of the Bible, they're all going to be gone and seen for what they are. It's going to be the Bible, the standard for everyone in the world. That's going to be everybody's going to hold on to the Word of God at that point. Now, it says there at the end of verse 3, but after these things, he must be released for a little while. I'm like, oh, really? Yeah, there's a 1,000-year period, and at the end of that 1,000-year period, we'll get into that next week, he's going to be released. There's a good reason for that. Because you could say, why is God doing that? That's interesting. He's got the devil down there, shut him up, and then he lets him out. You let the criminal, well, you know, it's not unprecedented, people letting criminals out, right? But the point is, there's a reason for when God did this, and we'll get into that. But verse 4 says, John looking up, I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. So them's 24 elders around the throne. We've seen the throne room. These are 24. We believe this is the church, representatives of the church. They're human beings in their glorified bodies, and they're going to be given a place of judgment. One of the things that it says, that Christians are going to judge the world. Now, it's going to be Christ. He's the judge. But we will stand in judgment in the sense that we're going to rule and reign with Christ. That's the position that he has for the believers. That's yet future. Now, we're going to have our glorified bodies at that time. We won't even be able to sin in our glorified bodies. But then he sees something else. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, we're talking specifically there about the 7-year period of time we talked about, the tribulation. That happened right before the second coming. Right after the rapture of the church is when that 7-year period started. And these people were deceived and received the mark. They worshiped the beast. And these other people that were beheaded, that were there on the earth, that were there in the tribulation, and they came to Christ. So we know that people came to Christ in that 7-year period. And it cost them to be Christians in the 7-year period. They were beheaded for their faith. They were killed for their faith. They didn't take the mark. It was costly. See, people had a choice, take the mark or die. Not much of a choice, right? Take the mark or die. Then you think, well, I'm a Christian, should I take the mark? There's something else that came with the mark. You must worship the beast if you take the mark. So you were making a decision then to not worship God. You're gonna have this other thing that you're gonna worship now.
From Hollywood to the latest top-selling books, the world is abuzz with talk about the end times. Apocalyptic events on the horizon seem to fuel this trend. Our world is so upside down, it's no wonder that people are clamoring for something more, something new. The book of Revelation details these dark and glorious times that are on the horizon. May we hear and see Jesus as we study this book with Pastor Bell. You've been listening to Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Bill Beckelman of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey. If today's teaching has ministered to you and you'd like to tell a friend about this message, or you'd like to listen to it again, it's archived at our website. That address is anchoredintheword.com. Perhaps today's message was exactly what you're looking for in a church. If you don't have a home church and you sense God is calling you to walk in obedience to Him, by being a part of the body of believers, please join us for worship Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. Pastor Bill also shares in-depth Bible studies every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. For more information, including driving directions, visit anchoredintheword.com. And then follow the link to the Calvary Chapel Coastlands church website. We hope to see you soon. Thanks for listening today. Now please place a marker in your Bibles and make plans to join us again, as Pastor Bill will continue teaching verse by verse through the book of Revelation. It's our heart's desire that you would be moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word. I'm anchored in-